And now on Radio 4, Squire Babblewick refuses to believe that the old woman visiting the hall is a witch. Will he learn to his cost that she really is?
He presents Babblewick Hall by Scott Cherry, starring Nicholas Le Prevost and Forbes Masson.
Augustus, there you are. I've been waiting an age for my breakfast. Sorry, Squire. I promised to be at John Gunter's farm by six.
Oh, here's your egg.
Egg? One egg?
Sir?
But I need a proper breakfast. I'm about to spend a day harvesting with my farmers. I told Molly I wanted bacon and broth with fricasseed tripe, toasted muffins and three eggs.
Well, Squire, I have to say, Molly made you bacon and broth with fricasseed tripe, toasted muffins and four eggs.
But, someone else is eating them. It's Hannah Moss. She's back.
The gypsy woman?
Dressed in an old pantry curtain, her teeth as black as the Earl of Hell's riding boots. And what's more...
What?
She's helping herself to the cutlery. How dare she? How dare she terrorize my servants in this way?
Where are you going?
To throw her out.
But Squire, what if she's a witch?
What? I have someone in the village seeing she uses an evil spirit to make gooseberry jam.
Augustus.
And she's always running up to Parson Flinch and saying the Lord's Prayer backwards.
Augustus.
And Jack says she was seen only yesterday down by Whimsey's Brook, suckling a fox.
Augustus, if Mrs. Moss is a witch, then I am a witch's cat.
She's left-handed!
Not right,
sir. Tell me, Mrs. Moss.
Molly.
Here you are.
Another egg.
Barney.
Yes, Jack?
Get another egg from the cool.
I'll be quicker than bad news.
Haven't you had enough, Mrs. Moss?
What do you mean?
Oh, we've given you breakfast.
We let you have two spoons and a silver thimble.
And now you want to throw me out to beg from the parish, I suppose?
No,
it's all because I'm a poor Romany.
No.
I've got a good mind to turn you both into tadpoles.
No.
No, don't do that.
All right, I won't. I'll curse you with wort instead.
No. You can have this.
Oh. And this.
Oh!
Jack, Molly, what are you doing?
Giving Anna Moss the clay pipe, Squire.
And I'm giving her the mourning ring I wear in memory of my dear mother.
So she doesn't curse us with the wall.
Curse you with what?
If you'll excuse me, Mr. Babblewick, I'm in the middle of my breakfast.
You devious old crone.
What did you call me?
How dare you terrify Molly into giving you my breakfast? And to think you were ready to take her mourning ring.
Now leave me to finish me broth.
Out of my servant's kitchen. Mrs. Moss, will you give me no choice? I shall take you by the hand and drag you.
Don't take him by the hand, Squire.
Can you read your palm?
Come on.
Let me see. Ooh. Let me see this hand of yours, Mr. Babblewick.
Don't let her tell your fortune.
She doesn't frighten me.
Oh, the line of your liver's not good, Mr. Babblewick.
Oh.
Molly, please.
But you've such a long headline. You must be an exceedingly intelligent man. Oh, yes.
Well, I...
Just look at the imagination you've got.
Huh.
You can see for yourself. The strong headline heading to the Mount of the Moon, just by your wrist.
Oh, yes.
It must be a lifeline.
See water, Mr. Babblewick.
Water?
I see you've got your ocean.
Oh, Squire.
Keep away from the water, sir, whatever you do. I see you in the water, drowning.
Drowning?
The moon and Jupiter are paying you for your folly and ambition.
A poppycock.
Saturn is standing by, laughing.
Rubbish.
You only have to see for yourself where the line ends.
Have you quite finished?
That'll be fourpence halfpenny.
Fourpence halfpenny? I'm not giving you a brass farthing.
Oh, you've got to pay us, Squire.
You've got to pay me.
Go. And don't you dare show your face in Babblewick Hall again.
Then I'll leave you with this. Cinnamon and mace. speed confined.
You can't see the evil eye.
Sheer citruses in a single line.
She's cursing us.
Butter and flour beat a pound. Stiff on the pace to a mighty mound.
Stop her.
Roll and cut. Let them bake. Then burn your fingers on the plate.
That was a curse.
That wasn't a curse. It was a recipe for lemon biscuits. How many times have I told you she is not a witch? There's no such thing as a supernatural power. She is just preying on your simple, uneducated minds.
Oh.
Buddy, are you all right?
Oh.
It's all right, boy. We don't need the egg. She's gone.
Oh, no. I just saw her stop by the stable. And then turn herself into a mule.
What?
And then she just gallops off.
Ah, Squire, I just need your little orange tea to calm your nerves.
Where is it, buddy?
Still searching for the pigs.
I see. I am going to have to be very firm with the Moss Rustlers. All this talk of Hannah Moss putting a curse on the estate.
Well, you can blame them, Squire. A lot of crops are ruined, and now three of the pigs have disappeared.
But they haven't been transported by witchcraft, they've just been stolen.
But Barney saw her turning herself into a mule. And that's not the only thing.
What?
The tongue of my shoe buckle broke.
I thought that tea was to calm my nerves.
Oh, sorry.
Hello, Squire. Oh, you're still there, my fury. Where did you go, Barney?
We couldn't find the pig.
Yes, well, never mind.
But what we did see, sir, makes it certain that the Babblewick estate has been cursed.
What do you mean? What did you see?
A ladybird.
With seven spots.
Oh, no.
A ladybird with seven spots.
And that wasn't all.
What?
John Grunter was out trying to save his clover hair from the rain.
And?
He saw a crow.
Flying backwards.
Oh. So is it any wonder the harvest is a disaster?
This is all because you wouldn't pay animals for them for telling your fortune, Squire.
Rubbish.
It's true. She's cursed us.
Look, will you all stop going on and on about the estate being cursed? It's ridiculous. You're more superstitious than a pack of high church Tories.
Well, I'll make us a little soup.
Things would be a lot worse if I didn't carry my lucky horseshoe.
They would that.
What was that?
I didn't know you carried a horseshoe, Jack.
I'll show it to
Augustus,
you.
Do not encourage them.
I got it from a dead mare.
So he couldn't have been that lucky.
What do you carry, Molly?
Oh, go on, show us.
I don't think I want to, Miss Clara, alone in Mark.
Oh, no, come on, let's see. I'm absolutely fascinated.
Well, put them in your pocket somewhere. Here they are. Lucky mole's feet in a little silk satchel, see?
Oh, yeah.
And this is the onion I keep to scare off the imps.
Imps?
Well, I've been losing that many keys lately.
Oh, yes, of course. And what about you, Barney?
Hmm? Squire?
Do you have any lucky charms? Any eccentric folk remedies which reveal your simple, superstitious mind?
Oh, no, sir, nothing like that.
I am relieved to hear it.
Oh, except this.
Good God. What, may I ask, is that?
That's the jawbone of a bull. Helps keep off toothache.
Oh, that's it. Molly, give me the salt and pepper.
Sir?
Come on, salt and pepper. I shall now conduct two experiments which demonstrate to you once and for all the irrational folly of your beliefs. Are you watching?
Well,
now observe. I am taking the top off the pepper. I am breathing in the pepper. I am now breathing in the pepper again. And when I sneeze, I don't want anyone saying bless you. Do you understand? Do you understand?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, there. See? Has the devil dived in through my nostrils and taken possession of my soul? Is a malign force propelling me into a state of demonic ecstasy? No!
You do look a bit pale.
I shall now take the salt and throw it all over the floor.
What?
Over your left shoulder.
Oh, no.
You all shoot
me. Over your left shoulder.
How staggering. I am still standing. I haven't been struck by lightning. My blood continues to pulse in my veins. Augustus.
Squire.
Take off my boots.
What?
Come on. I'm going to put them on the kitchen table.
Oh,
what? You can't do that, Squire.
You can.
Oh, yes, I can.
But it'll be such bad luck, Squire.
Now. Pass that mirror.
No.
Thank you.
No.
There.
No.
Look, I've broken a mirror and I'm still alive. What else can I do to show you that your beliefs are nothing more than a meaningless scramble of old wives' fables?
You shouldn't have broken that mirror, Squire.
No.
My goodness, as well have pulled the devil by the tail.
But nothing's happened. If you're still intent on clinging to your ignorance, I shall leave you to yourselves. Augustus.
Well, no need to be upset, Squire.
Yes, there is.
You don't have to sulk, Squire.
I'm trying to give you the benefit of my superior intellect, but you just don't want to know. Augustus.
Squire.
If you would be so kind as to bring my boots and some of the soup to my chamber.
Yes, of course.
Thank you.
Oh, sir, have you just stepped on some of the glass?
No.
I knew you shouldn't have put your boots on the table.
I shall bid you all good day.
Squire. Well, help me up into the saddle. I'm in a hurry.
Where are you going?
If my farmers are convinced that Hannah Moss has put a curse on their crops, then it is my duty to make them realize that she's no more capable of casting a spell than you or I.
Just think what's happened, Squire. Mm. Richard Gwynne's lost his potatoes to the blight.
Oh,
and John Grunter's lost his wheat.
That's nothing.
And don't forget Barney saw her turn into a mule.
Barney thought he saw her turn into a mule.
And what about Ned Dyke?
Augustus, that is enough. They say she's got Ned speaking in tongues.
I say that's enough.
What must I do to convince you all that there is no such thing as witchcraft?
Take it then, sir.
Wait.
Squire.
I've found a new mission.
Oh, no.
To rid the working man of superstition and ignorance. Yes, I'm in the grip of sublime inspiration, Augustus. Why don't I spend the next few months conducting a lecture tour throughout the whole of Yorkshire?
Please.
I shall take as my mission the dangers of superstition,
Squire.
And I shall take as my text Hume's essay on the absurdity of miracles.
You're getting too excited.
The time has come for every northerner to reap the benefits of my Eton education. And I will make them realize that every event they witness, no matter how seemingly supernatural, has a sound scientific explanation.
Squire!
One based on rational causes and natural law.
Sir, wait!
Molly, I am in the middle of a speech.
I'm sorry, but you're going to have to come and...
I was describing how I am about to usher in a new age of reason.
So you're going to have to do something quick. It's Jack and Barney.
What's happened to them?
They've gone with some of the farmers to burn Hannah Moss.
Give us back our pigs.
Come here, Ned, speaking tongues.
Show your face, I was being Satan.
Come out where we can see you.
Come on.
Come in.
What are you making all that fuss for? What do you want? Eh?
You tell her, Jack.
Richard.
Come on, Ned, it was your idea.
He weren't.
Come on.
Well, because you put a curse on the crops, we're going to take you down to the village pond and weigh you.
What?
And if you are lighter than this Bible, we're going to throw you in with dust.
And if you float, we've got all the proof we need that you're made of a devil's star.
And then we'll burn you.
You'll burn me, will you? And how will you manage to do that after I've turned you all into heirs?
She's going to turn us into heads!
No. Do you mean the sort of heirs that you find in the middle of a field?
I mean the heirs you find in the middle of a cow's backside. Well, come on. If you're going to commit me to trial, you better lay your hands on me.
Here we are. What do you think you're doing?
It's all right, Squire. We're just,
We're just having a few words with Mrs. Moss.
Before burning her at the stake.
Oh, Mr. Pebblewick, you're just in time to save a poor old woman from the mob.
A poor old woman?
You're a witch, and everyone knows it.
I take it, Richard Gwynne, that you have some proof of that assertion.
She came into my kitchen, ate my dinner,
And when my cat refused to give her the best ladle, cursed my potatoes with the blight.
Oh, oh, no, I can assure you that there will be a sound scientific explanation for what's happened to your potato crop.
And what about what's happened to the wheat? And the barley?
Oh, what about Ned?
What about me? What about you? She's cursed me to speak in tongues.
What?
You've been cursed to speak in tongues, have you, Ned? I've been speaking all manner of devilish utterances, haven't I?
Come
on then, let's hear them. Well, if you're under a spell to speak a diabolical language, I want to hear it.
Well,
go on, Ned. Come on. Let's hear you.
Well, I don't like to.
You don't like to?
I might say something upsetting.
No, it doesn't matter.
I usually start off speaking proper, see, and then...
Slumber. Slumber. Thank you.
Soldier might say something upsetting.
That was speaking in tongues, was it?
All right.
Of course it was.
Why else would he say a word like mahenke?
You were just making it up.
No, I wasn't.
Yes, you were. You were just making it up to blame this poor woman.
That's right, Squire.
She's a witch. Mm-hmm. Just look at the way she's dressed. She doesn't have buttons. No. She wears a big fluffy hat. And her shoes are tied with all gold.
She's a Quaker.
She's a witch.
No, she is not.
Yes, she is.
No, she isn't.
Yes, she is.
No, she isn't.
Yes, she is.
Did you hear that?
How dare you, Squire? What right have you got to say I'm not a witch?
What? You tell him, Anna.
How can you say I'm not a witch when I've just celebrated my 140th birthday?
I'm sorry.
How dare you say I'm not a witch when I was responsible for sinking the entire Spanish fleet just by whipping up a bit of water in a bucket?
Mrs. Moss,
But has this year's harvest been ruined by my spells and maledictions? Did I give Richard Gwynne's potatoes the blight? Did I give Ned Dyke's wheat rust to mildew?
Yes.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
Let's burn it.
Wait.
Come on, I said stop.
She ruined the crops with spells.
No, wait. Listen. Parson Finch is ringing the bells.
You should be in church for the harvest festival, not burning someone for witchcraft.
What kind of Thanksgiving can we give in church for no harvest?
What would Parson Flint say if he knew you were trying to burn an innocent woman at the stake?
He told us to do it.
He would...
He what?
Parson Flint told us that if we wanted to do God good service, we should vex and torment Anna for practicing the black arts.
Oh, my God.
Welcome, Molly. Welcome.
Parson.
Richard, Ned.
We're not late, are we, Parson?
You better hurry. The service is about to begin.
Parson Finch. May I have a word before we go inside?
Are you all right, Mr. Babbleweek?
Well, Parson, I've just stopped your parishioners from committing the most heinous and barbaric of all offences. Richard Gwynne and Ned Dyke, together with two of my servants, visited Hannah Moss with the intention of burning her at the stake. And they say you told them to do it.
I did.
But you're a man of cloth.
So
you should be preaching compassion, not barbarism.
Mr. Babblewick, the existence of sorcery is supported by the strongest scriptural and ecclesiastical authority. And besides, when I refused to buy some of Hannah Moss's lavender, you know what she did? Turned my dog into a milestone. Now, if you'll excuse me, Mr. Babblewick, it's time for the first prayer.
I'm surrounded by savages.
May our bounteous God, through all our life, be near us.
Amen.
Now, before we continue with the service of what is to be my 15th harvest festival at this parish, I believe Mr. Fenton Babblewick has a few words to say to the congregation.
Squire.
Thank you, Parson Finch.
What's he going to say?
Don't ask.
I know that this has been a hard time for all of you, and that we have just witnessed the worst harvest in living memory. I know that last year the side aisles of this church were overflowing with apples and pears, and that the nave was crammed with potatoes, turnips, parsnips, beans, and the porch was bedecked with all manner of corn dollies and barleymen. And I know that this year all we've got is two pumpkins and a tomato. But I can assure you all that there is a sound scientific explanation for this poor harvest. One based on rational causes and natural law, and not the gobbledygook of witchcraft.
We have been cursed, Squire. Ah. And I must remind you that all the sorcery of the ancient world is to be found in the heart of Christianity. And if you stand before us today in God's house and mock the existence of the supernatural, then you may just as well pour scorn on the very Bible.
Well, I'm sorry, Parson Finch, but I have to say that I do pour scorn on the very Bible.
What? You mean you pour scorn on the Mosaic law which confirms the reality of satanic agencies?
I do.
Then do you dismiss the proof given in Genesis of the existence of those incubi addicted to unclean commerce with innocent women?
I do.
Then how, sir, do you explain the fate of the Gadarene swine that hurled themselves into the sea?
It is now my considered opinion that those poor sheep died not because they were taken over by dispossessed devils, but because they were suffering from acute forms of smallpox and flatfoot.
That, Mr. Bellwick, is a heresy! You'll return the fact that there's no difference between the prayers of Christian worship and the incantations of sorcery.
There isn't!
Squire, how dare you profane my church!
There's no such thing as an arch-fiend or prince of the air. And there's not the slightest difference between a witch and a priest. Both being the inventions of a timorous and abject superstition.
He speaks with the devil's tongue.
Calm
yourself, Ned.
Why can't we all grasp the torch of atheism together?
He doesn't know what he's saying.
Let us all spread the one true light of rational law and escape from the mists of ignorance. Let us go among the people spreading the word of Voltaire and Newton.
Heresy!
Let us celebrate our greater understanding now, this minute, by going outside and walking widdershins round the graveyard.
Ned, Richard, throw him into the pond.
But I'm not a witch.
Well, if you're not a witch, you won't flop.
Which means I'll drown.
Swing him into the water.
Go on. Let me go.
Two.
Philistines.
Please, I beg of you. Let the master go.
I have
he
no...
He doesn't mean what he says. He doesn't understand what he says.
I beg your pardon.
His mind has always been susceptible to crazed ideas, like the harmlessness of whistling in public and the abolition of hanging.
Augustus, will you just shut up?
He's just in a philosophical fever from reading Rousseau.
Throw him into the water.
Oh, but...
One. Good luck, Squire. Two.
Augustus, help me.
And three!
Now remember, if he floats, he's a witch. He's staying afloat. No, he's sinking.
Oh, no.
Is he floating back up?
No. Mr. Babblewick has sunk without trace.
Which means he's not a witch.
Well, don't just stand here. Somebody save him.
Go on, Jack.
Go on, get all wet.
I'll get him. Quick, Barney, before he drowns.
Don't worry, Squire. I'll get you.
With the doctor, he should have been here by now.
Well, nothing the doctor can do for a fever like this, Molly.
Oh, who did we swallow a bit of the pond?
Half the pond, more like.
Thank you. Anna Moss warned him to keep away from the water.
So she did.
She said the moon and Jupiter would pay him back.
For his folly and ambition.
Will you weed my garden, little man?
Oh, Squire, don't die. Please.
Oh, Mr. Snipe, did you get the doctor?
Dr. Cross wouldn't get out of bed.
Why not?
He was too cross. So, I brought someone else instead.
What's she doing here?
I've come to save the squire.
Curse him, more like.
I'll need ground liverwort, some wormwood and rosemary, powdered rhubarb and a scruple of nutmeg.
But...
And if you don't hurry, the squire's going to die.
Ground liverwort, wormwood and rosemary, powdered rhubarb...
And just a scruple of nutmeg.
And that cured me, did it?
That and one or two ingredients I'd rather keep dark.
Did you expect me to pay you 5 guineas? 5 guineas?
Well, what would you pay a doctor?
A doctor, madam, would have bled me with leeches and given me a genuine cure. Oh, Augustus!
We've just all come up to see how happy we are that you're bed, huh, Squire? Jack's on his way up with a pail of cider.
I bet there's some little candied sweetbreads.
Oh, well, I'll have some of them.
Augustus, would you show Mrs. Moss out, please?
Hey, Squire!
Would you kindly show Mrs. Moss to the gate? She cured you! Surely she can have a piece of candied sweetbread.
Oh, witchcraft saved you from certain death, Squire.
Poppycock!
You got better as soon as my magic touched your lips.
I'll vouch for that.
Aye, me too.
How many times do I have to tell you?
What?
There is no such thing as magic, and there's no such thing as witchcraft.
There is!
There isn't. There is.
Why did I see you turn yourself into a mule? Answer me that, Squire.
I can assure you, Barney, that there will be a sound scientific explanation for why you thought you saw Mrs. Moss turn herself into a mule.
Oh, really?
One based on rational causes and natural laws.
Squire, you...
I've got the cider, Squire, where we like it. Oh, my God.
Jack!
What? Luke!
What? She's turned herself into a mule again! I said, wait, come back!
Well, Mrs. Moss. Mrs. Moss, is it really you? I shall give you 5 guineas immediately. Would you like a candied sweetbread while you're waiting?
Babblewig Hall was written by Scott Cherry and starred Nicholas Leprevaux, Forbes Masson, Dave Hill, Maggie McCarthy, Benedict Sandiford, Kim Wall, Phil Nice, Peter Gunn, and Linda Barron. The music was composed by Paul Mottram, and the producer was John Rolfe.